A new year has dawned, but critics groups are still collecting best-of film lists for 2020, a year made challenging by the COVID pandemic and the disruption to the theatrical movie market. One resounding takeaway for 2020 is that women-led productions are among the best films of the year. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Every year, the Alliance of Women Film Journalists celebrates some of the best films of the year that are female-led or female-centered productions, and I'm happy to have back on the program Jennifer Marin, president and founder of the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us from New York via Zoom. Congratulations on another year of the AWFJ's continued growth and advocacy. Just to start off, how many members do you now have contributing to the Alliance?
We have 90-some members. They're all very bona fide critics. And we also have a very active website now at awfj.org, where I'm publishing between 20 and 30 new reviews or articles per week. And about 30 women are constant contributors to the blog, and they're listed now on our masthead. So we've transformed from just an organization that gives awards to an organization that actually keeps a running tab on what's happening with women in film during the course of the year, both through our reviews of films and especially through our Movie of the Week feature, which focuses on one or highlights one film that is directed by and or femme-centric, directed by women or femme-centric. And we have 14 members contributing blurbs about that film every week.
I remember years ago when we met, your goal then was twofold, really to have an outlet to champion women in the industry, in the film journalism industry, which were underrepresented and still are, as well as championing the work of women filmmakers. And it's really been great over the years to watch the maturation of your site and your alliance grow and grow. We should note that you don't solely review films made by women or with central female characters. You guys are reviewing all kinds of films, and it's a great resource to go there to get maybe a different perspective on how we view films.
Yes, we cover all genres and films made by all genres and all genders, sorry.
Right.
And the idea is that women film critics will have a somewhat different perspective on films, on the way women, for example, are represented in films that are directed by men and or women or any other intersectional gender. So we will publish more than one review, women-written, member-written review on a film, on any given film. It's up to the members to decide what they want to review. And also, I'm assigning reviews to them as well. So we have a very interesting, broad women's perspective on all films that are being released.
I always enjoy getting your year-end press release, which is the AWFJ's year-end best of list. And you have your Ada Awards, which I believe were named after your mother. And you have, it tracks with a lot of the normal awards categories we're used to seeing, best film, director, actor, those kinds of things, screenplay, but also some unusual ones. Can you highlight some of the films that really took off this year with your awards?
Yeah, it's interesting because there were so many women-directed films this year that excelled, were released, and really succeeded. We had a list of nominees for our awards this year that in all categories added up to 35 pages, listings of nominees in the various categories. That was all had to be, of course, pared down to what our final ballot would be. But the films that really made a huge presence in all categories were Nomadland, which is, of course, directed by Zoe Zhao, and One Night in Miami, which is directed by Regina King, and A Promising Young Woman, not A Promising, but just Promising Young Woman, which is directed by Emerald Fennell. And these films were vying for awards in most categories, actually, this year. And that was something that bubbled up organically, because all films are eligible for our awards, all films that are released during from January to December in 2020 were eligible for our awards. And our list of films for consideration, there were more than 500 films that were eligible.
I just caught another film on your list, which just enraptured me. It was the 40-year-old version by Rada Blank, shot in New York in black and white. I just watched that a couple of nights ago. It's on streaming services. It's a really strong list this year. And it just so happens that, you know, this is the time of year where award screeners are piling up around my house of DVDs sent by the studios. And it just so, I guess it was coincidence, but for the last week, every film we pulled and put in our disc player and watched was not only phenomenal, but was written and directed, substantially made by a woman or many women. And it just really struck me. Is this a significant year, you think, a turning point in the industry for that? Is it a fluke? Can we expect more amazing work like this in the same quantity in the coming years?
I think that the work has actually all been there all along. Mm-hmm. I just think that one of the it's sort of what I would consider to be a ray of light in this panic darkness is that the shakeup in distribution, the
yes.
closure of theaters and the release of films online has given opportunity for women's films to be seen in equal accessibility, equal measure as the general Hollywood blockbuster film that usually bubbles up around award time. So that I'm not a person who's driven by stats. I think that the stats that have been cited with regard to women directors have always been skewed to what Hollywood
yes.
calculates, not to what's actually happening in the film industry, including indie films, that are very often, those are the films that are being made by women.
Yes.
And this year, those films have been seen, and that's what the difference is. And I hope that, I mean, I want us all to go back to theaters, because the theatrical viewing is a very different experience than watching a film at home while you're eating a bagel on your couch. You know, it's a different, wonderful experience, and we want that to happen again. But hopefully, the release of films theatrically, the effectiveness of the female-driven film this year will carry over to when we can get back into theaters. I hope that it's not just a passing fancy, but that it actually establishes the importance, the validity, the high quality, the relevance of women directed films that will now become more recognized within the industry, with distributors and with audiences all around.
Now, thank you for that. And I think it dovetails with my sense, too, that not only was this a disruptive year in the theatrical market, which, as you say, maybe brought some of these films more attention or more eyeballs, but it was also a year that, with or without COVID, the effect of streaming services, of the way productions are being greenlit, and the enormous chase for content because of the streaming services, the legacy industry, which is represented by the old Hollywood studios, is falling away. And all of these films, I feel like, could end up in multiple categories of something like the Oscars. But more importantly, they represent a return to character-driven films with mid to low budgets that are more safe to make. And I wonder if you see some of the calamity of the last year and the paradigm shift that's going on is actually going to accelerate opportunities for women going forward.
I think so, because I think that what has been missing as far as women-directed films go is the recognition of their quality and validity, and they're being made accessible to the public. So films, for example, like Promising Young Woman or even Nomadland might have had difficulty in the past being so recognized, becoming household reference points for cinema. They are now, that's what's happened with them. And I think going forward that will happen more and more with women-directed films. It's certainly my hope. The distribution models, the discovery of effective distribution through streaming is not going to go away. And I think that it will become the more common practice than theatrical release, as you pointed out. And so that does give a greater opportunity for women. It doesn't cost as much for a film to be released online as it does in a theater. And so lower budget films that don't have excessive marketing budgets can make themselves known as long as the platform that is widely followed and attended will pick up their film and show it.
I feel like one of the indicators of progress, too, slight progress, is when you look at two films this year, big studio films, Tenet by Christopher Nolan and Wonder Woman 1984. I think it's safe to say both were financial failures. Both were critical and artistic failures, in my view. Christopher Nolan is probably already working on his next mega-budget film. Patty Jenkins apparently is moving on to a Star Wars film. I detected less criticism of Patty Jenkins this year for the failures of Wonder Woman 84 because of her being a woman, but only slightly less. And I feel like we're still not quite there where women can fail at the same level as men and their careers still go on unimpeded. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. And I don't think that there's really an answer to that. I think that's a time will tell. Both films were failures, in my opinion, as well. And I think it's a great shame because they were both such huge budget productions and they generated, both of them, a great deal of disappointment in fans and in the industry. I don't know. I mean, I think that Christopher Nolan's refusal to stream and insistence to show exclusively in theaters brought a lot of criticism to him and the film. He was, this year at the EDA Awards, given the Hall of Shame Award for that behavior because we thought that he was exposing people to COVID by insisting. I mean, he has a huge following of fans who are devoted and want to see his films immediately. And he was inviting them to risk their health to do so. We thought that was disgraceful. Patty Jenkins is a wonderful director. I just thought the movie was a big failure, personally. I think that our membership also, we were divided on it. Some members really loved it and reviewed it nicely. Others were very critical. I don't know that they held back necessarily in their criticism because Patty is a woman. I think the fact that she's going on to doing a Star Wars film is an indication that she has, by Hollywood standards, become A-list and will remain there. And that is to the advantage of women directors. I mean, she's forging a new path. The films that we recognized mostly this year, as you mentioned, including the 40-year-old version, they're all independent films. They were not Hollywood studio, mega buck, blockbuster intended films at all. They were very personal projects that were initiated by women. And that to me, again, going back to this, it's defying the stats. It's defying the stats that have defined women's success in filmmaking, which are all Hollywood-oriented. And Hollywood has lost this year, I think, a lot of its command, its prowess in leading the industry and leading audiences in their interest.
I totally agree, and I don't think we're ever going back to its primacy. It has so been overwhelmed by the streaming services, and we haven't even discussed all of the amazing episodic work that came out this year, that the showrunners were women, the directors were women, the writers were women. It's like every time I turn around and stream something, I've been binging like everybody else listening this year, being holed up at the house. And it does feel like there's been a tipping point, a critical mass reach, that from here on out, there will just be greater and greater advances towards parity between the genders in this industry. And it's great to see. It's also great to talk to you. And I should mention that any year that has Sophia Loren back on the show out for an award this year.
Yeah. And from our standpoint, as I say, you know, what's happened is a ray of sunlight in this pandemic darkness. I mean, if anything positive has come from this in the movie industry, it is that these films are being recognized. The actors, the directors, the showrunners, they're successful and their work will continue. And the quality of the product that they're making, it's different because it seems to be a matter of personal commitment, personal artistry, rather than art by committee or, you know, approval from the hierarchy about what, you know, you're going to be able to do. So, again, I think that we've come out of this pandemic a lot stronger in the film industry than we went into it in terms of women in film. Women critics, I think that we as critics are having a difficult time maintaining our professional status because so many sites and all of that have been closed down and our platforms are closing down and people are being laid off right and left. And the Alliance, the AWFJ.org, our website, is determined to keep those women's voices active and alive, to raise the volume on them so that women's perspectives that have actually pushed this industry forward in terms of women film, femme-helmed and film-centered films will continue to be able to do so. And I hope that your listeners will subscribe to our website. Again, it's at awfj.org. And follow what our members have to say about film, because the members are very smart and they're good writers. And the perspectives, we don't think only just one thing. We're a collective of women. And what we write is personal and different to each one of us and very individual. So, yeah.
Well, it's certainly
Forgive my promo there.
No, that's good. It's certainly been an exceptional year for film. And despite all the challenges of COVID, I want to thank you and your membership for its championing of all kinds of quality films, especially the work of women in the industry. And thank you, Jennifer, for speaking with me today.
What a pleasure to be with you again. This is our annual visit, and I look forward to next year and having an even stronger women in film roster to discuss.
Absolutely. I've been discussing the Alliance of Women Film Journalists 2020 EDA Awards, celebrating the best films of the past year made by women and about women. My guest has been Jennifer Marin, AWFJ's founder and president, and for a complete list of the awards and weekly reviews by some of the U.S.'s top women film journalists, log on to awfj.org. For more of my conversation with Jennifer Marin about women-led films, log on to this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Stay safe, wear your mask, and thank you for listening to On Film.